Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 479, take two.
Deja vu edition.
We've already done this. I wasn't recording. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
This is so much worse than the first intro.
It is. That first intro was great.
I was like on it. I had funny jokes. And now you're like, we got to do this again. And I'm like, I've like, already forgotten what they were.
I was like, let me go back. Earl's here as well. And I was like, oh, I should go back to the chat and like pulls up. Oh shit, Craig's not here.
Well, the great movie The Last Jedi. Sometimes you have to make the past die to move forward.
Sometimes kill it if you have to.
Totally killed that old intro.
That intro to General Snook or whatever that dude's name was.
Supreme leader. Snook. He's leader. Yeah,
he's dead now. So,
yes.
And apologies for people who have not seen The Last Jedi, or who have not heard the debate about The Last Jedi in the past. Is it 3 years old or 2 years old?
Two, I guess.
Yeah. Welcome back from under your rock, and we'll be talking about things that are happening,
right. Like the video games from this past year. It is the end. Jeff sounds so excited.
It's time to turn off this podcast because we hate video games and we're talking about them.
Yeah, I don't know why.
To be fair, from any gathers in the podcast, the more you hate video games, the more you do podcasts about them. So you can tell people how much you hate the video games. This is the same thing with movies. The more you hate them, the more you tweet about them.
Shit, this explains everything I've been doing for the last decade. I understand it all now.
Moving on to the next decade, don't do that.
So we're going to do our category awards this week. And next week, we will be doing our Hall of Fame inductions and our top 10s and then kind of our overall joint top 10 that we're going to come to a consensus on where Jeff will knife fight somebody.
Not this year.
Hey.
There's nothing worth knife fighting.
That may be true.
Like, Fallen Order. Knife fight. No, it's not worth it.
Okay, we can just go ahead and spoil it now. We're going to give it to Death Trend, and we've talked so positive about that game. Pass.
We just love everything that Kojima does, and we'd like to, you know, honor him by selecting that as a game of the year, even though we all hate his guts.
So just play this episode twice, and you'll have both our episodes. And we now know Death Stranding wins everything, including our game of the year. Now let's jump right into our awards here. Tony, this is one just for you, because I don't think any of us have played any of these games, and also it's titled for you. The Strategy Gamer Strategy Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I see five games here.
So I will say, leading off, that this was a pretty crappy year for games, but this was an utterly awesome year for strategy games. There were some fantastic ones.
We take your word for it.
I'm also going to say that's a great way to start the game of the year discussion. This is a really crappy year for games. So now you're sitting there to talk about video games.
Earl, did you not just say that is why we do these podcasts?
That's right. We hate games, and therefore we're going to talk about them. So,
all right, Tony. Imperator?
Imperator.
All right, you just read off the. I can't even pronounce it.
So, Imperator was the newest Paradox game. It's a grand strategy game on the Roman era. It's really cool. You can play as any nation in the era. It's kind of a cross between Europa Universalis and Crusader Kings 2, where there's like you're running countries, but there's also like all of these like random people around, which affect how stuff goes down. It is, you know, in the Paradox vein, pretty complex. So it's probably going to scare a few people off, but it is super cool, and it is about one of my favorite eras. So that game's pretty awesome.
Okay. Unity of Command 2?
Unity of Command 2. So Unity of Command was a... it's less of a strategy game than it was like a World War II Eastern Front-based like puzzle solver from a couple years ago. They've brought it back. They've updated the graphics a bit, and now they're doing the Western Front of World War II. So you have like the invasion of Normandy and like the conquest of Sicily and France and all this stuff. They've made a bunch of upgrades. It's also really, really cool. It's actually getting a lot of Game of the Year play from sites like Kotaku now.
Okay.
Because it is, you know, pretty awesome again.
I've heard of Wargroove.
Yes, Wargroove. Wargroove is kind of in the same vein as Final Fantasy Tactics.
I like that game.
It is, and it's free on Game Pass. So if you want to give that game a shot, it's, again, really cool. More of a like medieval bent to that one. Medieval / high fantasy. So, you know, undead and knights and magic and cool stuff going on there.
Nice.
Age of Wonders Planetfall. Another pretty awesome strategy game. That series has traditionally been more of a high fantasy type series, but they've kind of moved to the future era. So now you're basically being dumped onto planets, fighting aliens and stuff, and then having to evacuate because stuff goes wrong, and then you move on to the next planet and do the same thing over again. It's a 4X game, kind of like Civilization. And there's some pretty cool stuff going on there, too.
Nice.
What was the last one on my list?
Total War Three Kingdoms.
Oh, yes, Total War Three Kingdoms. You guys know I'm a Total War fanatic. The newest Total War game came out this year. Cool thing about Three Kingdoms, it is historical based. However, it kind of has the hero units that you saw in Total War Warhammer 3, where you've got like one guy fighting in the midst of a bunch of like nameless dudes and like destroying them all with whatever he happens to be armed with. I am not as high on this game as I am on some of the more recent Total War games like Warhammer 2, which I think was probably the high point of the series. So I think it's a great Total War game, and if you're looking to get into the Total War universe, it's a great place to start. But I don't think it's like at the top of my list because I think there are better Total War games.
Okay.
So, but it's still awesome. Like if you're looking to, like if you love like the Three Kingdoms era of China, you'd really enjoy this one.
Nice. So, since we didn't play these games, what is your strategy game of the year?
I would probably, if I had to pick one of these games at gunpoint, I'd say Unity of Command 2. I think it does some really cool stuff. It's got a lot of like puzzle solving, like the first game did. Like you're looking, like here's the situation. Where do I move these units, and how do they best interact? There's also a lot of like strategic elements. So succeeding allows you to upgrade headquarters and units, and trying to like put stuff together in a way that'll best suit your campaign. I also like the era a lot better. The previous game was kind of focused on the Eastern Front. This is like, you know, the United States invading Normandy or fighting in the Battle of the Bulge, and these are things that like I personally am more familiar with and more connected to. So I kind of like that part of it too. So, and there are some other aspects that are like more historically accurate, like you move your units and they have stragglers and you can move through those stragglers and capture them and that kind of stuff. Like I like those little elements of historical realism that exist. All right. There,
do you have two runners up?
Off the top of my head, I would probably say Imperator. I think they've done some awesome stuff there, but you know, slightly less good. And then probably Total War Three Kingdoms.
All right. So there we go. First category out of the way.
Woo! We need a sound effect.
Yeah, and I made it sound like there were actually good games that came out this year. And, yeah, you know, we should have reason to feel optimistic. And now we can go to the rest of the games, which all sucked.
All right. Well, on that note, best couch-friendly game. I see six games here. New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Super Mario Maker 2, Team Sonic Racing, Man of Medan, and Borderlands 3. I don't have a dog in this fight.
I will be honest, I don't really have a dog in this fight. I was just going through and adding things to categories that came out this year. I mean, honestly speaking, and it's kind of a terrible choice because it's an old game. But I've always been a fan of the new Super Mario Brothers multiplayer mode. It is a fun, hectic, chaotic four-player thing. But because of that, it's always been accessible to anybody. Like, I've played it with adults, I've played it with adult friends, I've played it with little kids, I've played a mix and match of it. And because it has so many mechanics that helps you, or screws over other people, it's always been one of those great kind of, and great couch games that anybody can play. I think that's really what you want from it.
Yeah, no, that's sounds exactly what you'd want. Be able to sit down, everybody, and just play it all in the same room, so... Jeff, you got any thoughts here?
I mean, when I look at that category, like, you know, like what it should stand for, I kind of like agree with Earl in that you want a game that's like pick up and play friendly, and like you just have people over and that's like it. But on the other hand, I like just look at our lists and I'm just saying, thinking to myself, like, okay, I like a lot of these games, but like one of the best games on here, I kind of lean towards like Marvel Ultimate Alliance and Borderlands 3. Not necessarily for the category, but just saying, like, I'm just looking at
they're better games.
But that's
like,
the category. That's
yeah, but that's like, the problem. which ones do you think we should be playing on the cap? Like, I get the yes, like maybe Mom. I don't necessarily think either of those are better games than New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, but
that's another thing is I think playing that game again this year, I don't think it's that good. Like it's,
I still it like I removed it from my top 10. It was my number 5 game of the year.
Oh my god!
I was about to say to Chris's point, and I would actually kind of agree with that because I think removing it from the Wii U's launch actually makes it a better game because it didn't have the expectation that hey, this is your marquee launch title. It's just a game that came out this year.
And see, I think that elevated it for me. When it was all I had for the Wii U, I was like, oh, you know what? This is actually one of the best 3D Marios. And then now it's just like...
I still think that. Like, I think the levels are wonderfully designed. And I think the U Deluxe version, which has the Luigi levels, which are fucking spastic and insanely designed. Like, they're kind of like professional kaizu levels, and then add on like that multiplayer. Like I still think it's one of the best 2D Marios going.
Okay, so are you two arguing for that one? And if so, why would it? Why over Mario Maker 2?
Because
Mario Maker 2 sucks.
I don't think it sucks.
It doesn't suck. It's because with New Super Mario Brothers U, you get the levels designed to be played that way, where like. And then this happens with Mario Maker. It's like you can find multiplayer levels, but not all of them are designed that way, or they're designed in such a way that they have to be played with multiple people. So it's this weird middle ground where it's not like always like a great experience because you don't always know what you're gonna get.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I did not play any multiplayer in Mario Maker 2, and while I enjoyed that game. it quickly fell out of my mind.
You know, fuck it. If you guys are arguing for Mario Bros. U Deluxe, then fine.
No, I mean, like, okay, so Borderlands 3, Marvel, like, I don't think, we haven't talked about Man of Medan or Team Sonic, so.
Well, I was just thinking, too, Team Sonic is like, that's, you know, it's a kart racer, there ain't that much to it. That's also very pickup and friendly, and it's new, it's not a fucking re-release.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I guess the one thing with Team Sonic Racing, and you play this more, is that because of that team dynamic.
Like, again, it's like there's like some sort of learning to it. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's not, you could almost not know anything and play it, but yeah, I that's where I was hesitant to say anything about that one either.
Yeah. And I kind of go back to something like Mario Kart 8, where there's so many options for people who don't play those types of games. And I don't necessarily think some of those options are. And I can understand why people wouldn't want. Like, essentially, Mario Kart 8 has training. But sometimes you need that because, again, you know, like, as somebody who. Most of you have kids and stuff like that. And you kind of understand the value of having a game that you can play with other people of your age and 30 years younger than you.
Yeah. Right, I don't know, guys. I'm kind of like Chris, where I'm like, I don't feel strongly about this category.
Oh, I don't feel strongly about this cat. Like I said, I went through and it was just like, oh, what game has Yoku multiplayer this year? Because
this is what we came up with, a list of games, and none of us care about.
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I just in this category this year, nothing is like I'm like, no, that's the right answer. I'm just kind of like, if you guys are fighting for that, then I'm willing to support that. But
and if I played it, I think I would go with Man of Medea just because I think the concept behind its local multiplayer is so fascinating. But I have not actually got a chance to play that version of it to really go to bat for it. But the idea of everybody controlling a different character and kind of, like, I'm sure you've played games like that before where you hotshot the controller between your friends. I think it would be really cool to have like five people doing that. And making decisions, but I've not got a chance to play to really go to bat on that.
For what game?
Man of Medan.
Oh.
I'm up for removing that, because... Yeah. Mario Maker 2 as well, because I think it's just too random.
Tony, thoughts on this?
Tony has no thoughts.
Tony said, fuck it.
It's like, this is a category he didn't care about, so he got up and walked away. I mean, any of these four that are left, somebody pick a winner.
Well, I already said my piece. I'm still sticking with New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
I'm good with that. Vote. Jeff?
Is that what you guys are both voting?
Yeah, I would vote that way.
I will abstain and let you guys take it.
out of the three that are remaining, what are our runners up?
I'd say.
I would say Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Mm-hmm. Which goes counter to my point about Mario U being easy and accessible. I just think with a host of characters that people know and a bunch of different abilities, it's just kind of suited for any play style where you can be a big button masher. You can kind of be long range.
Yep.
And as much as
I love Borderlands 3, I kind of say I'd like to have a kart racer in the mix in this category. How does that work for you guys?
I'm fine with Mua 3 and Sonic Racing. There we go. All right, New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, our couch friendly game that we don't really care about. Best single player. We have five games here. That's really sad that we were only able to come up with five.
Well, I mean, to quote Toadie, it was a bad year for video games.
I really like all these games except for Control, but.
So, it's
for me.
Control, The Outer Worlds, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Jedi Fallen Order, and Luigi's Mansion 3.
See, this one's tough for me.
Oh, Tony's mic died.
We don't need his opinions.
All right.
That's fair.
He says we need your opinion.
Well, fucking fix it. Tony, what do you want us to do?
He's like typing in the BoobyZoo channel. Tony, try and get that fixed while we are working on this. Control, The Outer Worlds, Resident Evil 2, Jedi Fallen Order, Luigi's Mansion 3.
See, This one's tough for me because I actually like love all these games. Except, like I said, Control, but I still think Control's pretty good. So it's like, I don't even know. I kind of lean, like, for me personally, it would probably be between Resident Evil 2 and Luigi's Mansion 3. And I kind of lean towards 3 on it because it's a new game entirely. But what do you guys think?
I'm curious. Well, I'm really not going to have a horse in this race. But like, how are you defining best single player in this regard?
Is that, like, the campaign, the single player experience of playing.
Well, I meant more so because we have a best story and best gameplay. So is it like a combination of the two? Is it like the best? Is it like the best campaign? Is it like the, you know, like the best gameplay loop that's repeatable?
I mean, take it how you will, I guess.
It's the best game that you would play by yourself. You know.
Then, I mean, again, like I said, I don't feel strongly about it this way. But to kind of back Jeff, I would kind of go with the Outer Worlds because it's a new IP. Granted, it is very similar to Fallout, which is what I've been told. But not playing a Fallout, it was kind of new to me, and it was it's a system that feels different than many other games I was playing this year. So that was a nice and kind of refreshing thing. Like, I enjoyed Luigi's Mansion, but Luigi's Mansion 3 was just a refinement of 1 and 2, and taking the best and sometimes worst of those two games together. I've not played Jedi Fallen Order, and Control remains unopened, so I cannot count on those two.
Chris, where are you leading?
My picks would be the top three here: Control, The Outer Worlds, and Resident Evil 2.
Did you play Luigi's Mansion?
I played through all 5 of these games. Luigi's Mansion would be the lowest on my list.
And you beat Luigi's Mansion?
I beat Luigi's Mansion.
You were not here.
Doing your homework. All right. Fist bump. I personally was really impressed by Luigi's Mansion. I really liked the creative bosses they came up with over and over, and the different themes for each level. Like, that's kind of why I leaned towards it. I'm surprised. I guess you're the only one that's played through it here. Oh no, Earl, you played through Luigi's Mansion 3, right? Like,
yeah.
Am I crazy? Am I the only one here thought that was like really impressive? Like,
oh no, like I said, I think it's a good game. I just think that of the nominees we have, it doesn't do much new. It's just a refinement. It's really just a refinement of Dark. Well, I think, like I said, I think for me, the Outer World does, just because I've never really played Fallout.
See, I would almost argue against the Outer Worlds because, like, when I think of best single player, I'm kind of thinking of, like, gameplay as well. And that's, like, to me, Outer Worlds is, like, you know, when you think of like Fallout or a game like that, it's not really about the gameplay, quote unquote. It's like
the it is about the game. I mean, I get it. It's more about the story.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the gameplay is the dialogue options and
And you could this category how you will. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I was asking how we were taking, because we also do have a best story and best gameplay, which are two different things, but kind of taking it as a whole. Like, again, I agree with Luigi's Mansion, but I agree, what's kind of the story of that?
I think the story in Luigi's Mansion 3 is fine. Like, it's cute.
Oh, no, it's fine, but it's not like it's really driving the game. Like, they could have kidnapped anybody and it would have been the same experience.
Yes.
As long as it wasn't the ghost dog, because then we'd all be sad.
So, if we voted,
the ghost dog is the best character in that game.
If we voted, Earl, you're saying Outer Worlds.
Yes.
Chris.
I would vote Control.
Tony.
Can you hear me again?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Thank God. I vote Outer Worlds.
If I'm like not thinking about how you guys are voting or whatever, I vote Luigi's Mansion 3. But so then now it's like, there is a clear winner so far.
Seems like we have a clear winner on the outer worlds being the best single player game.
Yeah,
and I think,
is that what we're gonna do then?
And I think Luigi's Mansion 3 would be a great runner up. Personally,
awesome.
Yeah.
Sold.
I will concede to that.
Sold to the man in the ugly Christmas sweater.
Which one?
All of them. I've seen the pictures.
Oh, that's what I was asking.
Which
I mean,
sweater? I would go control for the other one, but if you guys have a other option here, I'm willing to whatever. I don't care.
What a great year for video
games.
I'm
not going to fight over a...
I'm running off. Yeah, what's the point?
Welcome to 2019, the year of I don't care.
We have fought over runners up before, but
we have. I just don't have. I know, like,
it's been a long decade. Okay,
it has. Earl hasn't played Control. Jeff doesn't like Control.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I'm just not. Like, it was just fine to me. Like,
right.
So go for it. Take it.
All right, we'll move on then. The Outer Worlds, best single player game.
Yeah.
Best multiplayer, we have 7 nominees here. Gears 5, Apex Legends, DayZ, Borderlands 3. Somebody added Anthem.
Who added Anthem?
I'm sorry to laugh.
Can laugh in your face.
Tetris 99 and The Division 2. I may have added Anthem. I don't remember. I think I was just trying to think of multiplayer games. So we got 5.
I added Anthem as a joke. Okay. I did that.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Let me
it is
it
a
out.
Game that had multiplayer, Earl. It's not like it is.
It did have multiplayer. You could not connect with your friends or play for very long together.
Well,
but
I was about to say, could you connect with your friends? That's always kind of been questionable. I mean, maybe now because somebody else is playing it.
You probably can, but your friend and you are the only people online playing.
And then you have to play the game, and that's a whole different beast. So
I'm crossing off.
Yeah, I just want to take one last thing at Anthem. I don't think that's true, though. I think it's also most disappointed. So, just giving that as a heads up, too. Yeah. So,
if I am looking at this now list of 6, for me, there's one winner.
Yes,
like
Apex Legends.
No. I think Gears 5 has the best co-op multiplayer with its horde mode and escape mode, and I really enjoy the competitive multiplayer of it as well.
That's what I played more than anything.
Yeah, where do you guys fall on this?
I think for me that's right, but I also think that Borderlands 3 and Tetris 99 kind of are in the mix too.
I feel like Borderlands 3 provides the same exact experience you had in Borderlands 2, except now it's like 6 years older.
Well, don't forget Borderlands, the pre-sequel. Don't get me wrong, as somebody who's playing the game on 2 different systems with like 60,000 different characters, I do enjoy Borderlands.
I think the way they adjusted things, like where you could play it where like you play with any level person and you'd be getting your own shit and stuff like that.
I like that. So that was something I noticed when we did play it. Because like Walt's over there going like, shit, like, yo, you guys get this gun? Like, can you use it? It's a level 10.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about because I only see level 4 guns. And he's like, holy shit, we got our own stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, that's a smart move.
Be facing, like, if I, like, say if I went to go help you, you're very early on in the game, I would still be fighting level 35 fucking, like, the enemies for me would be level 35. So, like, I don't know how they're working that.
How does that, I guess the percentage that I knock off is higher than what you would knock off, but they're
that's to me it's something like to me that's like it puts it in the mix here because it's a thing that needed to be solved for those types of games, you know.
I will say the one downside to that design though is you have to pick it at the start of the game and you can never change it, which I think is really disappointing. As far as I know, I don't know if there's an option. I couldn't find one. So like the first time you start the game, you get to pick cooperative or.
Yeah, I don't know how you switch it because I never really wanted to go back. I like the way that it is.
And it's fine, but like what happens, like I was saying, like I had various different friends group, and at some point you just kind of become uneven, and it's really hard then to kind of catch up. So yeah, but I did like the improvement in the. I think Borderlands 3, to Tony's point, is more Borderlands, but there are some quality of life improvements that they make. I do think that it takes a step backwards in certain regards. I feel like even though each character is unique, I don't feel like their skill trees are that vastly different from each other this time around. Not the characters themselves, but the characters' three different skill trees.
Within each character, you mean? Like,
yeah. Like, okay. Zane has, like, this three skill trees, and they're all pretty same.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, I mean, it does get on the tail. I actually just don't think the characters in this one are as memorable as the ones in the first two games. And the villain Handsome Jack was annoying, but he was annoying in the way that you hated him because he was the antagonist, where I just hate these characters because what happens with Borderlands 3 is like they take essentially Handsome Jack and make him every character. It's like every NPC is just
everything's
like
obnoxious.
Yes.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I haven't played a lot of Borderlands 3, but when I played it with Tony and Walt, it was like, I don't like anybody that's talking in this game.
Yeah.
They all suck. Yeah.
Like, I like shooting everybody. That's fun. Right. And getting the loot's fun. But anytime somebody talks, it's like, God, shut up. Like,
which, of course, makes it a game that you would only play multiplayer, because you're like, there's literally nothing here for me to play by myself. Right.
So you can just, like, play it with friends and, like, talk over all the nonsense.
Yes.
Which lends itself, that's a great multiplayer game.
I played it mostly by myself, but whatevs. I loved it. Anyways.
That's fine.
Catcher's 99, guys. Catcher's 99. I think something's to be said for that.
Well, please argue in favor of it.
Say something about Tetris 99. Jeff.
Am I the only one that thinks that? Because if so,
no, I think so as well. I think it's a great game. I think it should be on here. I will say the one thing against Tetris 99, which is going to be odd because I'm going to argue for Apex Legends in a second, is that Tetris 99 is a single mode that you just kind of repeat over and over again.
Unless it's, buy it, I guess. I think you do,
but it's still Tetris single
player. Yeah, right? Yeah, true. It's just,
I mean, they've added stuff. They're adding stuff. They're adding like a team based mode soon and stuff like that. But I don't think that's out now.
Right, it's coming. I think in the next big update to it.
So that's my one knock against it. And even the stuff they have, like the grand festivals or whatever they call it, like just because it's Tetris, it doesn't really do a ton different. It's just right. Like, oh, get the skin.
Okay.
I
just wanted to have those conversations about those. I think we're all in agreement that it's Gears 5.
anything to say about the Division 2? I didn't play it, so.
No.
Okay.
I enjoyed the Division. I think, I mean, the Division is here for the same reason that Borderlands is here. It's a new shooter that's a ton of fun to play with your friends. But I guess to the same point I made to Borderlands, even more so with the Division, like the Division, your characters are pretty much the same thing until you beat the game and enact the post-game content, and then you can do specialization. There's not a ton of... I mean, essentially, you all have this ability to unlock the same stuff early on in the game. And it's just depending on which combination of the items you want to use. So you can all end up being the same exact character. But yeah, I think, again, it's a very fun co-op game. Very nicely done open world. Some questionable sponge enemies, but it happens in these type of games. I think I accept it more in Borderlands because Borderlands is just goofy and cartoonish. Where when it's realistic people,
it's weird that you're shooting them in the head and
they're not dying. Coming off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna cross that one off. But nice to hear about that. DayZ was fine. three of us here played it. It's modern day Left 4 Dead. That's not bad. I do think it has a weird difficulty spike.
Like, yeah.
Wait, are we talking about DayZ or World War Z?
DayZ.
World War Z. No, you're right. Wait. World War Z. We have the wrong game.
Wow. Oh, no.
And I think that is enough. I can't even get the name right when we're talking about it. I think that's enough for us to cross it off. It's
sold.
It's a fine game. All right, Earl, you were going to argue in favor of Apex.
So, yes, Apex Legends took the concept of the Battle Royale game, and I think it made it something digestible and kind of evolved it. I think And there's other games that have done this, but I don't think on the level of Apex Legends where it actually made a cast base. Fortnite and PUBG are all kind of even scale. So adding the abilities, like having each character have a special ability changes the game. But I also think, to me, the biggest change and one of the reasons I put it on here is unlike Fortnite and PUBG, is that by default, Apex Legends is a co-op game. You're in a squad of three always. And it just adds an element of strategy on what which characters you pick, but also kind of like how you approach the game. Because it has that survival battle royale thing to it, but it's also like you have people who can cover your back, you have people who can help recover you. Like it just it creates those really tense moments that you don't really get in other games where like say you get downed or you get killed and you know your team wipes out the other people. They're able to, you know, like revive you. Like Gears of War, I guess, has this in Horde mode where you can then take it and find a spot to revive them. And then, like, once you revive them, you then have to wait and cover them until they fall down again. But then they kind of come in naked. And then you have to help them either find gear or kind of, like, protect them until they... or drop some stuff for them. But it's great in how it does all that. And then there's a lot of stuff that it does with quality of life stuff. I mean, I think we mentioned it when it first came out, that ping system is absolutely amazing for people who enjoy online games without wanting to actually talk to strangers.
Yeah.
I think, and other games have done this as well, but I think color coding like your armor and stuff so that, again, in such a fast-paced game, like sometimes you want to just know, like, this is better than my current gear. So, like, having stuff like purple be super, like, purples and gold and fused where it's just like, okay, this is better than what I have now. I'm just going to...
Or like, this is the ammo I want because it's the right color for my gun.
Yes. Yes. And like, again, like at Fortnite, where you can have a crap ton of ammo for guns you don't have in your inventory. And it's just like, thank you? Where this one's like, okay, this is an energy ammo. This is a shotgun ammo. And stuff like that. And I think they've done enough to kind of evolve. Well, actually, I guess they haven't done enough to evolve because I don't play it as much anymore, but you folks were back on it this week.
Yeah, and I was playing it this week. It's super good. I like it.
I think Apex is an excellent game. So, all right. So I think we kind of previously had decided Gears 5 here.
Yeah, I don't think there's an argument against Gears 5.
No. So... I'm going to lock that in. What are our runners up here? I just locked in something. It doesn't even exist. The hell am I knowing? Apex, Borderlands 3, Tetris 99. Who are our two runners up?
Flip a coin.
Apex. Definitely.
Borderlands or Tetris?
Tetris.
Jeff?
Go for it.
All right.
But Borderlands is going to get shit on all night. I see it.
All right, Jeff, here we go. Best remaster, remake, reboot.
All right, there's going to be fighting going on possibly here.
I don't Maybe think not. There's going to be fighting. I mean, okay.
If you defy me, there will be fighting. Otherwise,
okay, is anybody good as not say Resident Evil 2? Just go
that out there. Let him reach.
What are we talking about? Right. What's the category?
Best remaster, remake, or reboot?
Clearly AOE 2.
We'll get there. Resident Evil 2 Remake, New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story, Onimusha Warlords, Metal Wolf Chaos XD, Final Fantasy VIII Remastered, Dragon Quest XI S, Medieval, Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD, Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. So I'm throwing up the Disney classics Lion King and Aladdin doesn't count here. I think that they're just emulated ports, aren't they? They're not improved ports. They're just
New Super Mario Brothers improved.
It does have new content.
It has
is
new
Super
content.
Super Monkey Ball improved.
Yes, it's HD for remaster. One. So. Remember, the Super Monkey Ball came out on the GameCube, so
like my argument here is like if we're going to include this, then like Castlevania and Contra Collection should be included as well.
That's why I felt like this category needs to be broken up somehow, like fucking Amazon and shit. But
that's
damn the monopoly of this category.
Like we don't have like, but I don't know where we would even place that because it's not a remaster, a remake, or a reboot. Like it's best collection,
maybe we needed a best collection category. But here's what I'll say.
That's a very specific category to this year, I think.
Here's what I'll say about Disney Classics. I added this because I appreciated what they did with it, which is you can play multiple versions of each game, as well as there's like documentary stuff about the makings of the games, which I think is like, if you're going to do a collection, like that type of shit should be on there. It shouldn't just be slapped together. Like the kind of like the Contra one. Well, I don't know if I'd go as far to say that for about the Contra ones, but like, you know, a lot of times you just get a bunch of games thrown together and there's not much to it. Like at least with those two, they added some nice stuff with it. I don't I don't think it's going to be in the running anyways. So,
And Age of Empires 2 HD.
Awesome reboot.
I'm glad we got to talk that out though, Jeff, because I do think it needed to be mentioned. Like, you know, it is a good package. It is a good collection.
Yeah,
I mean, we unfortunately don't have a spot here. I think Onimusha doesn't belong here. It's fine.
Again, I will point out some of these were just me going through a list and being like, what? Like, so I would take off Mario and Luigi's Bowser Inside Story. I love the original game. I do not like the new art style that they always put these remasters in. Did anybody know there's a Metal Wolf remastered this year?
No.
The what?
Okay. There we go. All right.
I only remember it because of the digital Devolver E3 last year when they announced it. And I think Final Fantasy VIII Remastered doesn't really count.
What about Dragon Quest XI? Isn't that just like the Game of the Year edition, basically? It just like has all the extra shit?
I mean, technically counts. Because it has like it has improved music. It's a weird one. I mean, we could take it off the list, but it was on the list because it has improved. Like it has orchestrated music. The original has.
Oh, okay. It
has the 3DS gameplay with the PS4 gameplay, and it does add some other options. So it is kind of like a Game of the Year or Best of Edition, but it does add stuff from the familiar edition.
I am going to cross off Medieval. I think I'm the only one that played it. It's fine.
Let's get down to brass tacks. This is going to be Resident Evil 2, Link's Awakening, and Tony's going to make a case for Age of Empires 2 that nobody's going to talk about.
I think that's right.
I'm honestly fine with that. I'm fine with eliminating New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe and Super Mario.
So I don't even have to argue for AOE 2. You're just going to accept my argument.
I think that it's an excellent remaster.
Right. It is.
I've never played Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD.
It sucks.
So there we go. And we've given New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe props
elsewhere. Award. Yes.
I think I'm with Jeff on Resident Evil 2 Remake winning this category.
Yeah.
Unless Jeff is voting somewhere else.
I might actually support that because I've heard so many good things about it.
It's amazing, dude. It's like $20. Buy that shit.
Earl, thoughts?
Like I said at the start of this category, if Resident Evil 2 didn't win, I don't know what's the point of having this category.
be a weird category, right? Why are we having it?
Like, Game's Awakening looks like a really great remastered and stuff. I've not played it, but I mean, Resident Evil really just modernized that game. Like, Resident Evil 2, like that whole, I don't like the basic era of Resident Evil games. I hate tank controls.
So it's funny, like and we will talk about this when we get to our top tens, but I really like Resident Evil 2 Remake. I actually prefer the originals.
That's insane.
When we get to the top 10, I will go in further deeper on that, but there are reasons. Most improved sequel, we're eliminating this because we don't.
No, my choice wins. My choice de facto wins.
I will give Jeff this. Jeff has one here. He made a nominee.
Dude, this category was made for this game. This game is a huge improvement.
I haven't played it. I don't like Donkey Kong Country, but I take your word for it because Yooka-Laylee was not a great game, and I am fully confident that. As somebody who likes Donkey Kong Country, says it's a good type of that.
It's better. It's better than that. Like, it's like a budget game that's better than what Nintendo's done with the Donkey Kong Country series. So, I don't know why we let Chris go with this Donkey Kong fucking hate year after year.
Wait, time out. We're going to talk about, because Tropical Freeze is the best game in the franchise. So I don't know what you mean by
But this does more with the formula than Tropical Freeze does. And I don't know if I would agree.
No, Tropical Freeze is absolutely an amazing game.
I think Tropical Freeze
I said it before that I do not eat the original Donkey Kong Country game. So
they're not good.
They're not good. They do not age well. They weren't great to begin with, but they did not age well.
Right. I didn't like them when I had a Super Nintendo back in the 90s.
Have you not played Tropical Freeze because of this?
I own Tropical Freeze. I have never put it into my Wii U.
What?
Oh, no.
I would pay Tropical Freeze. It's so much better than those other games.
I heard there's like accessibility options to like avoid some of the annoyances.
On the Switch, not on the Wii U, huh?
I thought the Wii U one had the Funky Mode, but I thought the Wii U version had something. But it has co-op.
It had handing your ass over and over and over. Sometimes people just gotta get good.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff loves that. Ass, he keeps playing Dark Souls.
I would be surprised. Like, you know, Chris, you might play Tropical Freeze and you'd be like, yeah, it's hard, but you might beat it. Like, you're good at platformers.
I beat Celeste without moving it down. So I can play hard platformers. All right, biggest disappointment. We have five games here.
Anthem.
Dangerous Driving, Anthem, Devil May Cry 5, Wolfenstein Youngblood, and Contra Rogue Core.
Ugh, poor Anthem. I feel bad for you, Anthem.
Okay. Okay. I feel like it's got to be that, right?
It's got to be Anthem, but I put Contra Rogue Core because I wanted to make a case for that game again because that game is awful. I always played the demo, and I hated myself so much for that. Because that was just a really terrible, terrible experience. I don't know who in Konami was like, this is what people want, and decided to release this game to people with hands and eyes who could play this and thought they would have a good time with it. It is just not a good video game on any fundamental level.
So hear me out on this. I added Devil May Cry 5 and Wolfenstein Youngblood. I don't necessarily know if they belong here. I was disappointed in them. But
didn't I see Devil May Cry get a big award at the Game Awards?
It probably did.
People like it. I always see people playing it on Twitter and shit here and there. Like I think Justin's playing it recently, Gigawatt.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like talking about how it's good, and I'm like, that game was so unbelievably unremarkable to me. Like yeah, I just forgot about it so quickly.
I played the first level and it stopped. Like, okay, yeah, I'm done.
I mean, it's perfectly fine for what that game is.
One of the better levels.
But that's it. It's just fine. Like, I think it doesn't do the stuff that Ninja Theory's a DMC game. Like, that was way more interesting.
It doesn't do what Bayonetta does. That's for fucking sure.
No, like, it's not at that level either. So, you're right. It does belong, Jeff. I just don't know. I don't think it's in the top three here.
Yeah, but like, and then I tried Wolfenstein Youngblood. I bought it over Black Friday. Now, granted, I've only played like a half hour of that. It was just lackluster, and I think adding the co-op like somehow fucked with the formula that they had. Like
a little bit.
I just didn't like it. Yeah, it's just like, all this stupid bullshit, and I'm picking out a costume and this and that. Like,
but ultimately, I think both of those games are competent enough.
That they're good. They're fine.
Yeah, I think the other three games on here maybe are not competent.
Just to make a devil's advocate case for Wolfenstein Youngblood, yeah. I could be wrong. It was always kind of sold as like a side game. It's cheaper than a core Wolfenstein game.
Wolfenstein the Old Blood is the best Wolfenstein game I've played, and that was the $20 download like add-on.
Right, that was the side game for the first.
I think that's the best Wolfenstein game I've ever played. Yeah. So okay.
That's fair. I was just saying though, it's like they manage expectations.
Yeah, they weren't like this is Wolfenstein 3, right? Like of the new series, they were like here's this offshoot with Billy's kids.
Yes. Now on the other end of the spectrum, we have a game that was awarded E3 Best of the Game from several outlets. It was hyped up as the next big thing, and it was Anthem, and it came out. Well, okay, even before
there's no argument against it. Like, okay, there's no.
I just want to make a case for Anthem because I hate Anthem so much. I don't hate Anthem. I don't hate. But I was just so very disappointed in it from the get go.
Hyper disappointed as well
when I got into the alpha in January for an entire weekend, and I was able to play the game for like 10 minutes. And in that entire 10 minutes, the only thing I got to do was yo-yo with my teammates because the game could not keep up with everybody, and missed out on all the action. Tried the beta again. It was whatever. I'm like, okay, they'll have time. Game came out, mixed reviews. I waited. I got it for $10. I got it for $10. And I still find it super disappointing because
I did not pay for it, and I found it super disappointing. Like, I have it free with EA Access, and I am with you on that. It is super disappointing.
I tried to explain it to a friend because I have a friend who actually enjoys it for some odd reason. And when I tried to explain it, the game has no weight to it. They got offended. I'm like, you shoot stuff, and there's no actual feedback that you're shooting anything in a shooting game. Like,
all right, like, I was going to make an argument for dangerous driving. I don't think that there's any, there's no beating Anthem. It is super disappointing.
Horrifically disappointing. And the fact that this studio has made some really awesome games, some like games that if you go back to the last 20 years, you're like, this is one of the best games in the last 20 years. And they come out with this fucking thing.
I will say, I'm going to say this about dangerous driving. It is the only game that I give one star to all year. and it's a game that I really wish was a whole lot better because it's by the ex-Burnout devs making what is essentially a Burnout game, and it sucked. But Anthem's the right call here.
It is. Oh my gosh, I just get so mad thinking about it again. And how do you have an open world game that has three types of missions that you do repeatedly, and you have like four enemy types? And oh my god, it's just so frustrating. And the worst thing is, they give you this cool Iron Man setup where you can fly around and everything, and then they do everything in their power to take it away from you. Like, you can't fly too long because you're going to overheat. You can't shoot while flying because reasons that are never explained to me. It's like, I don't get who was like...
And those reasons are, like, they couldn't code it properly. Those are the reasons. It's not like... Game gave me PTSD.
Jeff back from getting a drink. Here he is. All right, biggest surprise.
Surprise.
Okay, just right, before we get into this category, I just want to confirm this time: do we mean DayZ or World War Z? Because I don't think DayZ came out this year.
What was that?
I was just saying.
You're right. We keep writing the wrong. You're right. Yes, you're. Fully, I was about to say DayZ again. We don't have it anywhere else.
I don't think either of those games are going to win. So
no,
I don't think so either. But I was just like, I wanted to make sure this time that we meant DayZ or World War Z.
World War Z is the game that is on this list. Biggest surprise nominees: Days Gone, World War Z, Tetris 99, Power Rangers Battle for the Grid, and Ring Fit Adventure.
Okay.
Earl, you Wait, added Power Apex Rangers Legends Battle for the Grid.
I wanted to know. Thank you.
Is Apex Legends not on this list?
Oh, it's not on this list. Why is
it's
Apex
not?
Legends
not on
it absolutely needs to be on this list. I can't believe that it's not. So put it in there, because it definitely should win this award.
And as Chris said, I put Power Rangers. That's just a personal choice. Because like on paper, there's like no way this game should have worked, because it's like from a mobile developer using the engine to make a fighting game. It's actually a really fun fighting game that's $20 that kind of came out of nowhere. And that's the only reason I have it on there. I just wanted to give it some props. It doesn't fit in some category. So... I'm not gonna like go to bat for Power Rangers.
Not batting, but you wanted to give it its props. This is the time of year for that. Fair enough.
I also think World War Z, it was a surprise that, you know, this game that looked like garbage actually was fun.
Yes.
But I don't think it went here.
To be fair, the only reason any of us tried it was because it was free. So
exactly.
This is true.
Game Pass is wonderful for that.
Thank you, Game Pass.
I added Days Gone here because I was surprised that I ended up liking that game as much as I did, and that it was as competent as it turned out to be. Because that game previewed terribly. But I don't think it fits here either. Unless you guys have an argument for Days Gone, I don't think you do. It's Tetris 99, Ring Fit, and Apex.
Yeah, Tetris 99 top.
Well, no, I think he's in one of the last three options that we have to. And I don't think anybody here has played Ring Fit, but I mean, from everything I've gathered, Ring Fit is just, well, one, it's a surprising game that it came out. It was announced and came out in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, I think all three of these kind of like fit that, right? Like where they were.
I was going to say more so with Apex and Tetris, because those games were already like, here's this game. It's out today.
I love that shit.
Actually, I think were Apex and Tetris the same week?
That's very likely.
It might have been.
I know they were both in February, but I remember like, it was like, oh man, like EA just stealth dropped a Battle Royale game, and Nintendo just stealth dropped a Battle Royale Tetris game. And it was like, this is a great way to start the year. And in some ways, it kind of peaked in the first 2 months.
Yeah.
I'd go either way on this. So Apex or Tetris?
I vote Tetris, but I'm not going to fight this one because I have fights coming, I can see. So.
This is a tough one. My gut says Tetris, mostly because it's a stealth drop, but it took something that we've all known. Like, Tetris is a game that's been around for 30 years and put it in a genre that nobody would have expected.
I was like, here, it's free, and it was awesome.
And it's good, and it's really good.
Yeah, like on paper, it's like saying the Tetris Battle Royale still doesn't make any sense to me. But it completely works.
I feel like Apex Legends did the same thing, though. It's like, let's stealth drop a Battle Royale game while we're working on something else. You never heard of this. It's EA, which badly monetizes everything. And here's this awesome game for free.
Oh, and I get that, too. But, like, again, like, with... it's like the Battle Royale. Like, it's still a Battle Royale game. It does make improvements, like I argued before. But it's not like, again, Tetris using that model. It's like, it's like oil and vinegar. Does oil and water. Does it make sense? But it works.
Oil and vinegar. Yeah. Oil and vinegar.
I corrected myself. I corrected myself.
I love Apex. I think I have to go with Earl and Jeff on this, though. Tetris is so fucking wacky. It shouldn't work.
Yeah.
Apex is a awesome first-person shooter from a company that makes awesome first-person shooters. And then they released a third-person game as well this year.
That was less good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Tetris here with them. Sorry.
Tony. Fine. Desert me. Leave me in the field to die.
Good call on adding Apex to the list, because we had totally forgotten about it. All right. Tetris 99, biggest surprise. Best music or sound. We have six nominees here. Death Stranding. Control.
Who had a control? Was that you?
Yes.
Calling him out.
How dare you? If you see Control on here, I probably am the one that. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I also added that. Cadence of Hyrule, Ukulele, and the Impossible.
Impossible Lair.
Impossible Lair. And Sayonara Wild Hearts.
So... I have very strong feelings in this category.
Like, you have feelings. Jeff is having feelings. What are feelings?
up until a week ago, it would have been Ukulele and then possibly Valer, and I would have fought you guys to the death because it's another David Weiss soundtrack, and those things are just beautiful and whimsical and awesome. But then I played Sayonara Wild Hearts, and that's 100% my shit. And it's a music game, and it's like kind of built around the songs in it. So I very strongly support Sayonara Wild Hearts in this category.
Well, I was going to make the same argument for Cadence of Hyrule, because that is a game built around, like, the entire gameplay is built around music. And it also has the benefit of having music from one of the best video game franchises of all time for music.
I just don't like those games.
I'm really bad with keeping the rhythm in those games. I didn't pay much, but for, like, as far as music and sound and combining the two, I think it's very hard to beat that this year.
But it was it was beaten.
So unless we are out of alignment here and somebody thinks that Death Stranding Control or Star Wars.
I mean, I'd listen to Death Stranding just because Churches is in it, but
I think the soundtrack in Death Stranding is great, like the ambient music they have going on and like the weird like synth jazz type shit going on is fantastic. I really like the sound design and Control. And I think Star Wars may have the best design of sound. Like if you listen to that with a like surround sound headphones or a surround sound system, it sounds great. But these other three all have good music. And I think that they overtake those other three. So if we're good with the bottom three here, I will eliminate these top three.
You're gonna hear me cry about this.
And in terms of my vote for the bottom three, I am with Jeff.
Okay. I am gonna go to
Buddy, Sayonara Wild Hearts, motherfucker.
I would go to bat for Cadence of Hyrule, but I'm gonna disqualify myself real quick. And just say it's a great use of sound and music. I will give it Sayonara just because the one difference is, like I said, it does come from one of the best franchises for music, which means it also kind of cheats. It's like Smash Brothers.
Everything in Sayonara Wild Hearts is like new original music.
It's like this like electronic pop shit that's like, that's my music, dude. I'm just like, yes. I'm like, I was sold on that game in like fucking 10 seconds. I'm like, this is amazing, dude.
Yeah, and I think we'll be talking more about that game later, but I think like in terms of like what I like out of the music, I haven't listened to Ukulele, and I love Zelda music. But
that's the thing, you have like, that's part of the appeal is like it's music you know already,
right?
So that's like, why I'm like
yes, that's it. That's, like, I came into Sayonara Wild Hearts and was like, wow, like I don't know these songs, but they're really cool. They work really well with the game that's going on, which is like this classic kind of on rails arcade type thing that's happening, very res like in a way, and it just works throughout. Like that game is centered around that 45 minutes of music that they've created, where Cadence of Hyrule is that kind of familiar Zelda music. So so Sayonara Wild Hearts, best music, Cadence of Hyrule, and Ukulele, The Impossible Lair, is our runners up. Best looking game.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're familiar with like a David Weiss soundtrack, then you like got an idea of what Ukulele sounds like. It's just, I think it's even better than some of his best work. So,
all right. We got six categories left. Best looking game. Six nominees here. Death Stranding, Days Gone, Gears 5, Link's Awakening, Luigi's Mansion 3,
no,
and Sayonara Wild Hearts. Death Stranding is just, it's very detailed visuals. It's all a little bit samey, but it is a beautiful looking game, and those facial animations and everything are great. But I'm willing to cross that off along with Days Gone here.
I'm against Death Stranding on principle, so let's go ahead.
Fair enough. All right, we're crossing it off because Tony is against Death Stranding on principle. All right, so there's five games here. I don't really have a. I don't care.
Four.
four games. Gears 5, Link's Awakening, Luigi's Mansion 3, and Sayonara Wild Hearts. I mean, I think all look great. They're all different looking.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with comparing it now. It's like they all go for something very differently, and I think they all kind of do a great job of capturing what they're going for. I think Link's Awakening looks absolutely amazing, and I think it's a great looking game, and I love the style so much. But I'm going to try to disqualify it because I don't think the engine itself matches up with it, where it doesn't necessarily always hold together with the frame rate.
Yeah, you're right on that. The game has problems running a little bit, which is weird because you wouldn't think that, but
I'm okay with eliminating it because it doesn't run great. Thoughts?
I think games should run great if they're supposed to look great.
All right. So what's our winner here? Gears 5, Luigi's Mansion 3, Sayonara, Wild Hearts, all three very different looking games.
Again, still very different. Like, I'm looking at screenshots of Sayonara, Wild Hearts, and I actually really love that style.
It's a great looking style. Luigi's Mansion 3 looks like a Pixar game.
Yeah,
I kind of vote Luigi's Mansion, dude. The effects and shit that they're doing in that game, like
the effects, I can't believe the animation, they pulled it off on the
Switch. It's so good looking.
Yeah, I want to go to Luigi's Mansion 3 as well.
Okay,
it's like not just on a tactical level, but it's just a cool looking game too. It looks
artistically, it's very good. It looks very good. That is one positive thing I'll say about it.
Fucking Nintendo Switch pulling off best looking game?
Dang. No, impossible. Impossible. You must be
right. Best character.
Me.
Five characters here, three of which are from the same game.
I was about to say, I'm going to go to drink because I know none of these characters. So.
BD-1 in Jedi Fallen Order.
So cute.
Emily Pope in Control. Parvati Holcomb in The Outer Worlds. The second sister in Jedi Fallen Order, and Marin in Jedi Fallen Order.
I vote Parvati.
All right, I'm going to agree with Jeff, which is going to make people like shocked.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Parvati is one of my favorite video game characters ever. She seems so like a real person.
Yeah,
like,
she's well.
She has actual. Yeah. Reactions like a person would have, as opposed to like the normal video game, you follow a certain path and things happen. It's uncanny, and I really like that about the way the character.
I actually liked her too. Like, I wanted to do right by her or whatever in the game.
Right. So, how often do you get a character that you like absolutely root for? Not often. And
so we all that she takes.
No,
Earl says yeah.
Well, Earl said he doesn't really know any of the characters except Parvati, I think. So,
probably unanimous there. And so,
what are our two runners up here?
BD's cute.
BD-1 is cute, and
I think he's more cute than the droids that they've added to the movies and shit. Like, I really love that one.
Yes. Although the new one is pretty cute as well. Well,
God.
And I would go the second sister. Or the other one.
Is that like one of the bosses?
She's the final boss.
Yeah.
She's the one that's chasing you throughout, and she is your Jedi Master's like the one that's on the ship with you. She is the she was the Padawan of that Jedi.
I just read best moments. I saw something you just added, Chris. Anyways, I'm fine with that.
Tony, no opinion?
Sure.
Okay.
We already picked Parvati.
We did.
After that, I was done.
All right. Earl back.
Come back, Earl. Where did you go?
Earl, come back.
He's here, but I haven't finished eating a cracker.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read off the best moments then. All right, best moments. We have five here. In Death Stranding, we have when you find out your mom is president, and also that she's dying, and you have to transport her corpse to an incinerator before she turns into a bomb.
All right, I just vomited.
I think that could be the drinking.
Hold on.
I haven't had quite that much to drink. I just
Go ahead, Earl.
I just want to read this again. So when you find out your mom is the president and also dying, and you have to transport her corpse to an incinerator before she turns it into a bomb.
Yes.
And that is an actual thing that happens in the game.
That is an actual thing that happens in the first hour and a half of that game.
Oh. Wow.
Yes.
Why is she turning into a bomb?
Because when you die in Death Stranding, if you are not disposed of properly via incinerator, you evidently interact with the environment in a way that makes you into what is basically like a nuclear bomb. You become like a suitcase bomb. It's ridiculous. It is a dumbfounding moment when that happens. Like, it's like, wait, what? Huh?
Okay.
Wait, what again?
Sure.
It's nuts. All right. Control, the ashtray maze, which I don't know if – I think Jeff might be the only one who played that part of the game.
Who's played this game? I want heads here. Who's
which game? What game?
Control.
Are we
Control.
I played Control.
You have?
Yes.
Okay. You played it?
I played it. I played like 3 hours of it.
So you did not reach the ashtray maze.
I did not, no.
At least not the one we're thinking of.
No.
We got spoilers. Talk about it.
So it is this this shifting room puzzle. It's not really a puzzle, like, but you do need you walked, to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to like kind of, you know, maneuver yourself into the different open doors. And all the while, there's this like really cool like thrash metal song kind of going on.
Just really cool. Really lame.
I think it's awesome.
Really, I mean, lame it's song. Like it's cool because of how lame it is. I think.
Yeah, it's like, ridiculous. It's like so dumb. Like I wouldn't want to listen to it on its own, but like in the moment of the action, it works so well.
When I saw it nominated for Best Music, I was thinking of like how I know you like 80s music and shit, and I'm just like, he nominated this because of that stupid ashtray maze. It's really like a hair metal band. It's like, take!
Yeah,
it's control! So
but take also, that's...
Control!
That's not why it was... That's not why I nominated it for Best Music.
Oh, is it not? I have a hard time believing that.
It's fucking, like, so ridiculous. I was grinning from ear to ear when the music started.
It's so dumb. And it, like, that whole sequence is... I think it's the best sequence in the game. It's just a ton of fun.
It's an area you return to a bunch where it's like you'll be walking down a hallway and then it opens up to you or like, you know, it closes on another side. You know, it's like this shifting maze that you're walking through where you just kind of like follow the path.
It's just like a really cool visual effect along with the ridiculous music.
And you go there a bunch in the game, but like, you know, when you return near the end of the game, they start playing this fucking song and then it becomes a much longer sequence too of you going.
Yeah, it's like you're and like everything's kind of shifting like upside down and turning on its side.
I mean, honestly, like I don't love Control, but that like is one of the best like video game moments of the year. So, after we go through these,
all right. So this is a spoil. Like I did not spoil it in the moment here, but for Jedi Fallen Order, what we have is when he shows up at the end, and he is Darth Vader.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Shocked, I say.
Evidently, that was spoiled in an ad.
Yes,
I haven't seen the ad, but yes, he is in Jedi Fallen Order.
It's at the very end of the game too.
And I feel like I joked about that on this podcast, thinking they wouldn't do that again because that's essentially how Rogue One ends.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also kind of how The Force Unleashed ends as well. The fight against him.
Yeah, so you don't actually fight Vader.
But he shows up.
He shows up. You do run away from. So it is very much that Rogue One ending, like where he is just kind of like this stalking behind you.
Yeah.
And you are trying to escape him. Because you don't actually interact with him. So I think if you do fall behind, like you'll die. So it is more of a chase sequence. But it is a really cool moment when he shows up and he ends up killing the second sister who is. Has decided she's going to kind of turn back to the light side. And he kills her
and then starts chasing you. It's fucking awesome. Days Gone, when you encounter the first real horde of zombies.
It's like 8 million
that's
zombies.
That's super cool. Yeah. Yeah. When they're like crawling over each other in a pile, like yes. after you. It's actually scary for a moment. Until you throw a grenade at the pile and they all die.
And Sayonara Wild Hearts, it's the final level where you're basically, you do a boss rush. So you go through and you defeat all the bosses that you've already fought throughout the game. And you defeat them each with a kiss and then you ride a dragon.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
I mean, and the whole level is just like really intense and trippy looking too. Like the whole game is like that, but like they really go over the top in the last couple levels, like, you know, really pushing what they could do with it. I like all of these choices.
So where are we going with? What can we eliminate? I think we can eliminate Death Stranding. It's ridiculous, but
yes,
Tony
but
is.
But it's hilarious. Let's discuss it and then eliminate it.
We did. We've discussed it. Like, that is what it is. Like, it is the fact that you find out your mom is the president. Also, hey, she's dying. Oh, now she's dead. You have to transport her corpse to an incinerator or she's going to blow up the entire city.
That says everything you need to know about every Kojima game ever made.
That's it.
But that sounds like a moment of the year because it's like so... you folks say it and you folks tell me it exists and I'm still not going to believe you.
You're like, this can't be real. Who wrote this shit?
Like, I'm going to see a video of this and be like, no, somebody made this. they dubbed over it or something.
Also, it's like a 20-minute cutscene.
Oh, my God. I hate it so much right now.
It's Kojima. It is straight up. Like, and like, hey, Tony doesn't like Kojima games. But if you do like Kojima games, this is what you're there for. It is a great Kojima moment. It is straight up nutso, but I all right. Earl says we should hold on to it.
Well, you don't have to. Hold, I'm just saying.
No, we should not.
It just sounds like so. Like I feel like that's one of those moments that you're gonna look back in 10 years and be like, video games were like this in 2019,
and this is like, why they were so bad in 2019. This is why it was the worst year in gaming.
We'll say this moment right here. This was the moment. I think an easier one to eliminate, like when you encounter your first horde in Days Gone, it's awesome, but it's just that one time. Then
it's
every time,
like,
go more zombies.
You run into all zombies and Dead Rising for the first time.
Like, yeah, it's like a really cool visual effect. And as Tony said, it's scary, like when you see it, but you move on.
I like all the rest of these, man.
Thoughts on cutting Jedi Fallen Order? I love the ending to that game, but I'm kind of okay with.
And I think the faded thing is kind of fade out.
It is super cool. It's like had me grinning ear to ear.
It was like a real like nice surprise at the end. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't like, I was like, whoa, okay.
Because like Vader is in the background the entire, like you don't see him up until that moment, but you know he's around and he's pulling the strings. But when he finally does show up, it is like, oh shit, like what do I do? Because like I am like this bullshit, like I'm a bad Jedi. I'm not good at being a Jedi. Like, I barely beat this Inquisitor, and now like the fucking Sith Lord is here to kill me. Oh shit, he's chasing me. I'm running.
Yeah, that's cool. Fuck.
I don't know.
We gotta cut one.
So we have not cut Death Stranding?
We can cut it.
Please okay. cut it. For the love of God.
So then
sorry,
no matter what, we got runners up that I'm happy with. So, and I gotta be honest. I don't know. When I think of Sayonara Wild Hearts, I absolutely agree with you on this one, Chris. Like, that whole game was a best moment for me. You know what I mean? Like, that game had me grinning from beginning to end. It's so short, too. So it's just like, man, I don't know. Someone else, vote.
I mean, Jeff, if you are leaning that way, I am willing
no.
to support you on that. You're not leaning that way.
I don't know.
I will support it. If somebody picks something, I will support them on it.
I don't know any of these moments. I did not add any. You're on your own, guys, is what I'm saying.
Chris, I think you got to vote. I think you got to take the lead.
I really like the Ashtray Maze.
I'll back you on it.
All right, let's go with the Ashtray Maze and the other two as runners-up.
All right. Like, the Ashtray Maze is, like, one of those moments of the year, for sure. Even though I didn't love Control, I can't argue that.
That one's one that stands out.
Yeah.
All right, best story. Control, The Outer Worlds, Days Gone, Death Stranding, Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Oh, whoa.
I really like Control. I know you guys are less high on it. I would probably cut Days Gone first and then Death Stranding.
I'm interested to hear your case for Sayonara, because that was not me.
No, I have a case for it.
All right.
I want to hit a case for Death Stranding first. Because
I'm pretty sure, like, that moment right there, the moment that we just came off of. So there's that. You find out your mom is the president, and
I commented on that, but I mean, like, does finding out your mom is the president actually have any bearing on this story?
Yes. So your mom dies. So she was the president. She dies. Instead of telling everybody, "Hey, president's dead," your sister takes over. Your sister, but she looks just like your mom.
That sounds even more ego.
So they're just like saying, "Hey, she's still the president. Like we're not changing shit here. Same president. Also, your sister is in San Francisco or the equivalent of it across the country, and she is stuck on the beach." Or something of that equivalent, where, like, so the beach is where when you die, that's where you go. And if you are like Sam, you can regenerate when you die. You can leave the beach and come back to Earth. She is stuck on the beach or wherever in San Francisco, and she can only talk to him by hologram. And
I hate this so much. The more you talk, the more I hate it.
And you are traveling across the country, delivering packages. So you're a mailman. This is the apocalyptic postman starring Kevin Costner. And you are trying to get to your sister to get her out of San Francisco and off of that beach and bring her home, so that she can be the president and we can unite the United States once more. And make America great again.
Okay,
I believe in the United States.
So I'm a bit confused here. Why did they have to send the postman to get it from San Francisco instead of like a train or something? Because if you're pretending to be president, you are still the president.
So there, you can't fly there because the world is disconnected. So the mailman. Her brother needs to go and reconnect the world by bringing infrastructure to the middle of America.
Can someone explain to me why people believe that this imbecile is brilliant?
I would love to understand it myself, too. I mean, I don't want you to hate it. Like, I get it. Like, I could see in Metal Gear Solid, like, the original on PlayStation, like, it was ahead of its time in certain things, but, like... Just because you do a bunch of political bullshit doesn't make any of it smart or like.
It's none of it is smart, Jeff. None. Yeah. I added it here because the story is bonkers. Like, it is not smart.
It is
batshit insane.
It is. But it's such a weird insanity because it's like insane. And then it's like the main character is going to be a postman. And it's like, wait, what? Like, you go through it and your setup is like the main character of the
backbone of America.
That's it. There you go. Jeff has figured out the stranding.
So, Jeff, how many packages do you get to deliver to reconnect Middle America to San Francisco?
I mean, all of them.
Every package brings him one step closer.
How many packages can you balance? Can you do like, can you wear like 12 in your back and like 10 in your each hand?
Whatever takes more time is what I like to do. So one.
So I'm not hearing the love for Death Stranding story.
Oh, no, I think it wins. I think it wins. I don't know how any game story this year is going to top that. I mean, I've seen movies that are like batshit insane, and they don't top that story.
I pick anything besides that.
To be fair,
any story, it doesn't matter what it is. I pick anything besides that.
Okay, Tetris 99 story mode before his.
Perfect. Absolutely.
I think we have to eliminate it on principle since that is the amount of story that I've gotten from the game.
Oh, you're not finished with the game yet.
No.
Oh, so
and
you
never
be more...
will be. That's the other part. He never will be.
That's accurate.
And I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw a friend complaining on Twitter that the chosen credits of the game are 2 hours long.
No, that's accurate. That is accurate.
Who the hell does that?
Kojima. Like, if you've ever played Metal Gear Solid 4, there's a 90-minute ending cutscene, and then there's a hour cutscene after the ending.
This is why I have not played Metal Gear Solid 4. Part of it was because I tried it at a friend's house, and we spent the first 2 hours. And in the first 2 hours, I think you play like 20 minutes of actual gameplay.
Yes. And this is why I never made it through the first 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I want to at some point actually play the game that I'm playing. I know that's shocking. I know that's surprising to some people. And the other people are all really dumb. But my God.
Okay. So I've eliminated that.
Please eliminate it.
Let me pitch you Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
So it's about a woman who has a bunch of exes, and they've broken her heart. And she then goes on this spiritual journey where she rides skateboards and motorcycles and dragons, and she defeats them and makes herself whole again. And when she finally is able to come to terms with the heartbreak that they brought on her, she forgives them by kissing them and then rides off into the sunset on a dragon.
That sounds way better than anything ever made by Kojima. And way more believable, by the way.
The dragon bit, that was like, yes, that's way more believable than anything. I think it's a very cute, touching, simple story that's told through kind of like this visual design. Like there's very little there's no dialogue, there's narration done by Queen Latifah, mind you.
Yeah, I'm definitely sold.
But the story is told. Yeah. The story is told through the visuals.
Yeah, it's like one of those things. I give it credit because it's one of those games where it's like it's not a narrative game, but like the narrative kind of like plays into like it's just part of like the gameplay almost, you know?
Yep.
Which I dig. Like I think that's the right direction to go. However, I think the Outer Worlds is all narrative, and it's pretty awesome.
Accurate.
So it's like one thing's doing the thing I want games to do. The other thing is like doing a really good example of just making a story game. And we haven't even talked about Control yet, but me personally, my vote is for Outer Worlds.
God, stop making me agree with Jeff, guys. Just stop it. Stop.
I mean, there's two votes there. So unless Earl's like has a dog in this,
I've not played any of these games to know your story. So
there we go. So Outer Worlds is our winner. I really like Control's story about this government agency that it researches the paranormal, which infects everyday household items. And it's an entire division of the government built around studying those objects. And the person you play, Jesse, she is there because her brother has been taken. She's trying to find him, and she's being guided by this paranormal entity. But when she gets there, she becomes the director of this agency by some weird action that like the old director pretty much chooses like to off himself. And then the division itself, the oldest house, which is where this all takes place, picks the new director, and she becomes it. And then she has to kind of clear this infection out of the oldest house while you're trying to find your brother. And it all takes place in the Alan Wake universe. But yes, Outer Worlds has been voted as the best story. So
yeah, Outer Worlds.
All right. Yeah.
I will say this about Control, though. Like, I didn't like the way it started off. Like, I felt like I didn't have my bearings enough, and it was like corny to me. And it starts off with her walking into the place. Like, you're already in the weird place, and you see this character walk in, and you're just like, okay, like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Like, oh, and the director, who the fuck is the director? I'm the director now? What does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, I felt too lost. Which I get, like, is part of it, but, like, it would have felt better, like, if you had grounded me with her as a character first, and then she walks into a weird place, and you're like, oh, what's going on here? I don't know.
See, I liked it the way they presented it, which, like, you have no idea what the fuck's going on, and so, like, my drive was to figure out what was going on.
Like, I hate when they do that.
Why am I here? Who is she? What is she even doing here? And, like, you're getting all the answers as you progress, like, but I could see it both ways. Best gameplay, Gears 5, Luigi's Mansion 3, Control, Jedi Fallen Order, Apex Legends, Tetris 99.
Ooh.
The shooting in Control is garbage.
It's my favorite game.
I think you need to play more of it to get where, like,
a good move, Stony.
Well, it's you have to get the
I guess, but
kinetic maneuvers.
I mean, that would be awesome, but like the base gameplay
to
is
to
shooting,
start off.
I can't believe,
and it's not good.
I'm just gonna like.
That's why I stopped playing. Like, if the shooting was better, I'd have played more of it. But it's not good.
One, I cannot believe, like, me and Tony are like in agreement on something this big, and two, like, I don't think I've seen anyone else like not be impressed by this game. Everyone else that plays this game is like, this is the best game of the year, and I'm just like, I don't know, dude. Like, it's all right, like, it's cool, like, and I liked it more as it went on, but I found it very off-putting at the beginning. Like, I think the gameplay is not as good at the beginning of the game, and the story is like, you're like,
it's a game that builds. It snowballs. Like, it starts off, you're very weak. You only have the one gun. I will say this, it does not do a good job of explaining how to upgrade your stuff. Because very early on, you can get a better version of your gun, which makes the shooting a whole lot better. But if you aren't kind of like playing around with stuff in the menus, you won't really know that because it hides it, and the menus are shit.
Yeah, it's just, but
this is going to be the weirdest game of the year, Jeff, because you and I are actually in agreement on so many things. This is,
but I can't believe we're in agreement on this game of all games, because I just don't see it with this game. I don't get. It's honestly, like, it's not doing something that other games have not done before, and then there's things about it that are, like, every time I unpause the game, it chugged, and it had problems getting back to just playing the game, and I'm playing on 1X. I found some of the checkpoint spacing sometimes bad, like, I don't know, the game, I'll give you this, like, the game does get better, like, as you get deeper into it, like, at first I was very much like, I don't understand why people like this at all. And as I got into it, it started to feel really cool. I really focused on, for my character, being able to pull and throw stuff.
Oh, yeah. So it's like all, once you get the force push and force pull, it's
but if you
awesome.
Level that up enough, you can literally like just throw one thing at somebody and fucking take them. Like, you become really powerful with that.
Yeah, you can. And if you don't take them out with one hit, you're like able to shoot them once and they're down.
And that starts to feel good. And then like even later on, you can start to like fly around and stuff. But it is one of those games where it's like, it's something you make fun of some games for. Where you're like, oh, you get the good moves later on in the game. Like, but that is how it is. Like, the deeper you're in, you get, it does play better. It's weird to me. Like, I'm just kind of like befuddled though that like it was like such a front runner with like everybody, you know.
I'm honestly surprised that the two of you did not come away liking it more, but Tony has never really liked Remedy's controls, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Not since like the original Max Payne games. I'm not a big fan. Alan Wake, not so much. No.
All right, we can remove that. That's fine. I think Jedi Fallen Order should be removed from here.
Was just gonna say that I think you guys are selling that game short all along, but that game has awesome gameplay. But
oh no. And no.
I've not played the game, so again, not a horse in the race. But from what I gathered on this show and from other people who spoke of it, it sounds like a case of for them. I mean, it sounds like it's a decent game, but it also sounds like a case of them not really managing expectations of what you were going to get and what it actually turned out to be.
Yes. I think I agree with you. Go ahead.
And, I mean, the fact that it has levels that fit perfectly with Sonic the Hedgehog or Sonic Adventure the music kind of says a lot about the actual...
Oh, those sliding levels are so bad.
Like, maybe if this wasn't a Star Wars game, I'd feel better about it. But it is, and there is so much of the game that is based around jumping around and climbing.
Yeah,
and
it's which I don't think the like I don't mind the jumping or the climbing. It's some of the other weird choices they make. I will say this, if it wasn't a Star Wars game, I would not have finished it, and I probably wouldn't even have picked it up.
I would not have started this game if it wasn't a Star Wars game. I would not have considered buying it, and after having played it, I regret paying for it.
I think it's awesome.
I think Jeff...
It's a mishmash of all awesome games I like. I can't believe I don't like... running around and climbing, like, that shit's like Prince of Persia shit. It's fucking awesome. Don't be hating.
Okay, we'll play a Prince of Persia game. This is
Get your fucking
Prince of Persia out of my Star Wars.
I have to deal with what I get now in this fucking tragic year of our Lord 2019.
It's funny. Like I like the wall running and platforming, and I like that stuff. It's like Tony doesn't like it. It's like what I mean. I don't think you're getting either side of this. Yeah.
I love it all. They made the game for me.
All right. It's not going to hold here, I don't think. Yeah. That leaves us with Gears 5, Luigi's Mansion 3, Apex Legends, and Tetris 99.
I vote Luigi.
Sorry, you going to make a case for it or just voting Luigi?
No, I'm just voting for it. I can't even talk.
Okay.
All right. Good case. Failed. Okay. Moving on to Gears 5.
I am iffy on Gears 5, but I guess it's the sum of its parts. Just because I think some of the open world stuff is not really handled well.
The open world gameplay is
subpar.
Yes.
Yeah, and the fact that takes up two of the four acts.
If this was just like best gameplay mechanic. Oh, like Gears 5 shooting is top notch.
Yeah, but
it's the whole package.
And even though I enjoy Horde mode, and I think it's a ton of, and I might be in the minority with this one, I actually did not like the addition of character specific special moves or traits Because I like being able to just kind of pick a character that you like skin-wise, and not like, oh, I want a character, and I also need to make sure that their ability matches my play style.
Right, I get that. Like oh, I want to play Foz, but I don't want to have to be the sniper and have to utilize his skills. Or I want to play Kate, but I don't necessarily want to be a stealthy scout. Like, I just want to shoot shit and play as the character I want to play. I get that. And that is a common argument on the Gears Reddit. Tetris 99. It's Tetris.
Yes, but it's also Tetris.
It's also Tetris.
So that can like, go.
I mean, Tetris's gameplay is excellent.
I mean, it's persevered for 30 some odd years without changing anything because it's Tetris. So
yeah, I mean, and Tetris was my game of the year last year. So
yeah,
it's Apex Legends. Tetris.
Apex Legends. I said it before. One, I think it's just a really solid shooter. It feels good, especially in a month that Anthem came out. It felt really good. but again, like I said before, like one of my biggest things is just some of the quality of life adjustments it makes with the ping system, which I think is just a huge advancement gameplay wise for online gaming. And the fact that they, like other games have similar systems, but the fact that they make it so easy and the game is pretty smart at knowing like, okay, this is probably what the person's pointing out, not like this general area, but that person they saw or that item they want you to pick up or something like that. Because some games are just like, yeah, he pointed in that general direction. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, over there somewhere. I think for the most part, I think all the classes are pretty well balanced, mm-hmm. and they all play to your specific. You know, they all have their advantages, and I also like. And it's a weird thing. Any game that kind of have you pick squads, and it's like you can't pick the same character because I do like the diversity of like, okay, we're gonna have to have three very different people on this team, and not just like we're all gonna pick heavies or something like that.
So where are we at with gameplay?
I think Earl just made a very persuasive argument. The one thing I'll say is take Gears, subtract the single player, and then compare it to Apex Legends, and where are we?
And I get your point, and I think that's fair. And I think, at, like I said, I think as a whole, Gears of War is... Even since the original, it's been a top-notch third-person shooter. It is just so tight. It feels great. It's a part of me that's very morbid and macabre. I love a lot of the executions. And
I love it.
it's such a great mechanic. But I think as a whole, I would just give the nod to Apex just because, like I said, it's weird because I'm making the same case for Apex that I'm making against Gears, and that Apex gives you cast specific abilities, but that's how the game was built. Where Gears is like it's a change from a model that I actually enjoyed in 3 and 4, where it's like especially 4, where it's like we'll have classes, but the player picks it, and then you pick whichever character you want for that. Where this one's like you have to, like you know I think when we played I used to play as Sarah Connor. And I think she has a great ability, but I'm like, oh, I want this ability on somebody else. And it's like, nope. You can play as Sarah Connor and beat this person or nobody else.
Yeah, I do think that's a little bit of a downfall against Gears.
And I would also throw it out because I think Chris and I have played. I think Chris and I were the only ones who played. Jack is just not that fun to play. It's an option. You don't have
so boring.
But Jack is not a fun thing to play.
Yeah,
and I guess the other thing, and Chris and I went through this as well with Escape,
mm-hmm.
is that like, you really are kind of screwed if that third person is a random or somebody who's not communicating, because it's really, really not that well balanced for less than three people.
No, like if you end up with that third person that just runs off
or quits halfway through,
you're kind of screwed because they're bad. Like it becomes really bad. Like depending upon which map you're on, like there are some maps that are easy enough to do with two people. Just take a little while, but there are ones that are like, you know, they're throwing those, they come and snatch you and they drag you away in Horde.
Yeah.
Same thing in Escape. Sires. And like if they grab you, like, and your buddy can't get there, or the other person is all the way, you know, run all the way away, you end up dead. Like, it that sucks. And so like when they're throwing like four of them at you at a time, like if you take one down, that's cool, but then there's three more there and your buddies run off, and so two of you are being dragged away, and that's not any fun. I am cool with Apex winning this. Is Gears our runner up? What else?
I like Tetris those 99. Choices. And Tetris 99 there.
Who is, like, no one likes Luigi's Mansion up in this? What the fuck?
Who is Luigi?
Luigi's Mansion was
it? Don't I hate him?
That was the other gameplay one, yeah.
But you didn't make a case for it.
Jeff voted for it and then went away.
Yeah, that's what I mean, but like, I said, what's your case? He's like, I'm dying. So, man.
Damn it, Jeff, put the blood down and give us the case.
I'm dying for it.
For the blood?
I think Luigi's Mansion is great. I like how interactive everything is. I love the fact that you can kind of just go in and vacuum stuff. I think Luigi's a fascinating introduction into the game. I think it's a great mechanic. I mean, there's a lot of good things to say about it. You weren't really here to kind of drive home the case. And we know Chris doesn't like it, and Tony didn't play it, so.
Yes.
Well, how dare you, Tony?
What? I don't care about Luigi's Mansion. Fuck that game.
I mean, I don't care. Tetris 99 or Luigi's Mansion 3, it don't matter to me.
This is for runner-up now? This is
yes.
He says after
take whatever you want. At that point, I don't even give a damn. It's not gonna win.
It's not. There was no argument for it from any of us. And I kind of agree with Earl's argument, and actually Tony did too. So
yeah, I did.
That's bullshit.
No, not against it. For Apex Legends winning.
Whatever.
All right. We have Luigi's Mansion 3, the runners-up. All right, 2019 games we wish we got to play but didn't because whatever reasons. Tony, you have MechWarrior 5 down here.
God damn it, why did MechWarrior 5 come out last week? I don't understand. Release your game earlier in the year or, you know, to the next year. Because who releases a game like that in December? For the love of God.
They gave you time. You had some time.
You gave a week. my selection is Untitled Goose Game. It is free. I have it downloaded. I just did not get to it. We have too much end of the year stuff going on.
Is it free? Is it on Game Pass?
It's on Game Pass now. Yeah,
I need to check that out.
Yep. Earl, do you have a game? Do you have a game that you wish you got to play?
I have two. I think my big one is Fire Emblem the Three Houses. And that just came at a time when the Switch lineup was really busy between Mario Maker and Marvel Ultimate Alliance and Link's Awakening. And then Control, which I have purchased, and I've just not found... The holiday seasons are the best time to buy video games, but the worst time to find time to play them.
Yes. Agreed. I really look forward to this time of year. I like once I get like through this week and then into next week, I actually have more time to play video games than I ever have at any other time of the year. And then January always seems to be pretty quiet. I love that. But
yes. You know,
before then, it just sucks.
So it's very weird for me because professionally, November and December is actually the busiest time of the year for us. November, December, and January. And then I've been home three nights in the last 2.5 weeks. And one of them I'm spending recording this podcast. It's just like I really do not have time for anything. So hopefully next year I have a bunch of time because I want to play Control, and I also got Indivisible, which I've heard really good stuff about, and it's one of the few RPGs I know of that stars black people. So
okay, we'll be interested to hear that one. Jeff said he played literally everything, so he has no option.
Anything I was like literally or interested in at all, I played. So.
All right, real quick recap. Tony's strategy game of the year was Unity of Command 2. Best couch-friendly game was New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. Best single player is The Outer Worlds. Best multiplayer, Gears 5. Best remaster, remake, or reboot, Resident Evil 2. By default, most improved sequel was Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair. Biggest disappointment was Anthem. Biggest surprise, Tetris 99. Best music and sound, Sayonara Wild Hearts. Best looking game, Luigi's Mansion 3. Jeff, you got to win there. Best character, Parvati Holcomb from The Outer Worlds. Best moment, The Ashtray Maze in Control. Best story, The Outer Worlds. And best gameplay, Apex Legends. We'll be back next week with our top 10s and our joint top 10, plus Hall of Fame. Jeff Sagan.
I forgot all about that.
Good night.